Blog Talk Radio.
Ilanga lishonile, papa na mazungu yizi komozo baba.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced this evening. The air date of this episode is February 13th, 2024. Tonight, we'll be discussing how white hypocrisy is being forced on the black community. This is season 8 of episode 10 of Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced in conjunction with Frontline Black News. How is white hypocrisy being forced on the black community? We will be discussing the willful intent of black politicians who sell out the black community on a regular basis for their own personal gain. There are problems with the legal system that they overlook on a regular basis. Their lies that underserve and neglect the inner cities of America is redundant. They believe the only way we can progress is to be a carbon copy of the slave master's descendants who are not concerned with the descendants of slaves who built the economical powerhouse of the United States. Please call in with your questions, comments, and concerns at 516-418-5996. This episode is for those 18 years of age and over. And this is episode 10 of season 8. This episode is also being semi-casted on StreamYard, on Facebook, and on YouTube. Okay, so we're going to be giving a greeting there to the Mile High Income City from our co-host and co-producer, the one and only Che Nkrumah. Hey, Brother Che, what's happening with you there in the Mile High Income City? Okay, Brother Che, are you with us? Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, moving right along. Okay, Brother Che is probably having some technical difficulties in our Denver studio. Okay, so our headline story tonight recently is that we're going to be speaking with about the Nigerian banker who died in Boulder City, Nevada in a helicopter crash. He was traveling from Los Angeles, you know, to come to Las Vegas for the Super Bowl when his helicopter had crashed, and six people died in the helicopter crash. It was a quarter mile from Interstate 15 in San Bernardino County, which is the last county that you leave out of California, crossing in Clark County in Nevada. His name was Herbert Wigway. He was the chief executive officer of Access Bank. And he was the former chairman of the Nigerian Exchange Group, according to the Director General of the World Trade Organization. Okay, so basically what it is, ladies and gentlemen, is that they don't want us having no type of economical power whatsoever. They believe in this all-inclusive crap, you know what I'm saying, which serves everybody else except us. Okay, say that again, Brother Che.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking to the people on the stream yard. Greetings, Shabaka. My high income. I had got disconnected, so I had to restart the direct connect. But I'm here.
Yes, sir. Okay. So we're supposed to be having some other callers calling in to get their feedback. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, our chat room is open for our hate mail. Okay. And so far it appears that it's empty and what have you. Okay. You know, which is fine. It's because this is all part of the shadow ban. Okay. And we got a caller there from 336. Okay. And 336, you know, just simply, you know, push one. Yeah, we'll talk to Joe. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, most definitely we'll talk to Joe. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and what have you. Okay, and so we have to look at the importance, okay, of Africa controlling its own resources, okay? So therefore, so we can cause the economical shift to get true black power. Now, there are those you know, who don't believe it, don't think that we can do it. Then they speak about, you know, the elite and all this and that we're all the same and all this old type of stuff, and surely we know better. And then also, too, Joe, we're going to unmute your mic in a minute. Sure. Just press one. Okay, also, too, I want to point out, ladies and gentlemen, at the Super Bowl, and why I turned that shit off is because when they went to sing for the performer sung Lift Every Voice and Sing, commonly referred to as the Black National Anthem, I noticed that the majority of the people, you know, did not stand, okay? So this is an insult, you know, to our ancestors once again, not to mention the fact that the black athlete generates the revenue for the NFL anyway, so they definitely need to have some black ownership and what have you. And then also, too, we got to look at these black politicians, you know, who are selling us down the river, Tim Scott, what have you, Karen Bass, okay. And then also, too, Brother Che, I just want to comment, man, when we did the StreamYard last night, of the redundancy of what the city of Denver is doing. You know what I'm saying? In regard to these migrants, and it's draining the city's resources, but then they want to turn around, shut down historical black colleges and what have you. You know, Ron DeSantis and his bullshit, you know what I mean? And then the lies that they perpetuate, you know, on us as a people. Well, you know, y'all people sold your own self into slavery. But when they make that statement, they don't want to bring us the flip side of the coin, that those who were captured, okay, were brought into the slave trade as well, too, where the ones that, quote-unquote, did the selling were captured. Also, you see, so therefore, you know, we try to have some intelligent conversation right here and whatnot, and the dump, as in human shit, and we want to make that perfectly clear. Not only does he belong in prison, I think the man belongs in an insane asylum, myself. He has some issues, real, real sad, sad issues, and then not to mention the fact, got a, inbox here from Dr. Marvin X, you know, out in the San Francisco Bay Area, speaking about Minister Imhotep and whatnot have you. And also, too, Dr. Marv, you know, you're always welcome to call in. The number is 516-418-5996. Then we want to give a shout out there to our well-wishers. And those, you know, who've been with us, you know what I'm saying, you know, since the beginning. And also, too, we appreciate Mad Dr. D's firstborn calling in last week of the information that she related, you know, on her trip to Azania. And if you're out there, April, we're on now, and please give us a call. You have tenure here. And then also, too, when it comes to professional sports, okay, and we did do an episode on that there, Brother Chaz, you know, for just how much revenue is needed to get a professional sports team. But I believe that with the talent level that we have, if we could pull it off, it would be an uphill battle. I would say within 5 years, you know, we could most definitely cause a market shift, you see. And also, too, shout out to Colin Kaepernick, who, similarly to Muhammad Ali, who had sacrificed, you know, his career, you know, standing on the premise of what he believed in. So, you know, you can't blame the man for that. Okay. And also, too, wait a minute. I think I know who this is. I'm going to put it up there. Calling from a block number. Is this Sarge by any chance?
I ain't blocking my number, man. It's a Skype number. That's what Skype do. Blame Skype.
Okay, Skype Sarge. Okay, we got Joe Wilson here in the chat. Joe Gibson. I'm sorry. He's in the room as well, too. So, therefore, Sarge, we're checking all our hate mail and stuff like that, and, you know, we go off the hook right here. Okay, man, then I can't say it. Don't go crazy now, you know what I mean? Now, Sarge, I have to ask you this question here, Sarge, okay? Now, what did you think about that the majority of the people who are not standing for Lift Every Voice and Sing? What is your opinion of that, sir?
I have an opinion upon it. I thought about it at length, and I trust you'll give me enough time to sufficiently answer it.
Oh, absolutely, Sarge.
Thank you very much, sir. That's all I need. All right, look here. There are few spirituals I love more than Lift Every Voice and Sing. I think there are few songs more lovely, more soaring, and more inspirational than a well-delivered rendition of Lift Every Voice and Sing. However, when you juxtapose it as a counterpoint to the national anthem of the United States, I think the portrayal and the rendition of that song is wholly inappropriate in that context. Now, even if they wanted to put it as part of the halftime show, great, but not as a counterpoint to the national anthem. There is only one. There only ever should be one. And let me say this about, you said the players generate the revenue for the NFL. Well, in great part, they do.
Oh, yeah.
Because the fans generate the revenue for the NFL. And they have a right to stand or sit for things as they see fit.
Okay, Sarge. Okay, Sarge. I ain't mad at you, man. I'm not hating on you, man, not at all. But me personally, you know, I started to look at it, Sarge, you know what I'm saying? And then when I saw the majority of the fans not standing for what is commonly referred to as the Black National Anthem, it pissed me off, man, and I had to turn it off. And the reason being, Sarge, is because, as you know, being a descendant of slaves, you know, here in the United States of America, such as mine, you know, who were broke down on the plantations of Alabama, and the only time in my lifetime to ever went through the South, I rode through Montgomery, Alabama. But it was nighttime, Sarge, so I kept moving, you know what I'm saying? And what have you. Okay, we see Joe has his hands up. Okay, Joe, I think the referee took the night off tonight, man, and I think the Nevada State Athletic Commission didn't sanction this bout. So I guess we could have civil conversations tonight. Okay, Joe. All right.
Well, by the way, I appreciate what you said there, Brother Shabaka, but I'm just saying, man, look, I don't blame the fans for not standing up. As much as I like Lift Every Voice and Sing, I suspect most of them were doing it for the same reason that I objected to them playing it in that context. That's why they didn't stand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they had every right not to. They paid a bill for the NFL.
Okay, and keep in mind, Sarge, you know, the tickets for the nosebleed seats, man, was over $1,100. $1,100, man, for nosebleed seats. You know what I'm saying? But, however, this is Sin City. What goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas, if you know what I mean. Okay, Joe Gibson, we see your hand up. Okay, so how you doing, Joe? And I know it got rough for you, man, on our last podcast, man, but you hit us with, you know, some very, very foul and vile comments at the end. But how you doing, Joe? Joe, okay, 336, the last three is 496, okay, you have your hand
up.
Yes,
sir.
Okay, is that you?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, okay.
You hear me, brother?
Oh, okay.
Black Power. This is Kay DeWalt.
Oh, yes, sir.
Carolina.
Now, who's this?
Black Power. Can you hear
me,
brother?
Yes, sir. And who is the gentleman that was? Yes, sir. Okay, and who's the? And you're the 336 number, correct, sir?
Yes, sir. I'm calling in because I was listening to the Sarge talk about the NFL, and he was hitting so many good pointers. But I also want to add in on that too, man, because I didn't feel no type of way when they didn't stand up. Because this is how these Caucasians have done for the last 460, almost 70-some years. So we got to be understanding that they're not going to be respectful to something that when you're trying to break away from them, because, you know, they're like leeches. You know, they got to suck the blood of black people anyways. And if they can't get no good, suction on it, they feel like they're not going to win no how. So just add more injury to it, you know, they feel like, well, we ain't got to stand up. And we shouldn't stand either. Why should we stand for a flag?
Exactly, man. Right.
Because
I ain't never stood for the national anthem, man. For the national anthem, man. Yeah, because, you know,
man,
when you look at the lyrics of that, with that bastard by the name of Francis Scott Key had wrote off of one of the stanzas, man, he was saying, like, death to every slave who was helping the British, and what was that? They had a war of 1812, I think. Okay, so because what I understood was that the British had said, well, we'll give you your freedom if you fight on the side of the British. Now, when you get ass scratches and yassa bosses like Eric Adams, Leo Terrell, Larry Elders, you know, bums like that, miseducated Negroes,
right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, they'll come up there and say this, that, there, the other. Well, I was born in this country. We built it. Okay, fact. You're right. We did build the country, and this is why we need the reparations. You see what I'm saying? It's because look at how the three industries that benefited greatly from slave labor. One was cotton.
Right.
Okay. Two was sugar cane, you see, particularly down there in Louisiana and what have you. And then I hate to have to put it out here, and this is why I use the term of the rape and slave trade and pedophiles, because of how they bred our little girls. And then as Brother Che had brought out some information, I believe it was from Tariq Nasheed, about how they had the sex farms. And they had the buck-breaking farms. And I'm going to ask Brother Che if he can come in there and give us some information on that. You see what I mean? And then, and all of this, as you see, is demoralization of the black male. You see what I'm saying? This is why they went through that that castration business, you know. But however, the white female will go up there, tell her brother, well, if you don't do it to me, I'm going to tell master that you raped me. And the first thing they want to do, man, is cut off his private parts, put it off in his mouth and stuff like that. But this is the history they don't want you to see. You see what I'm saying? And then on
they
top
got the
modern world too,
doing the same thing.
Oh,
they're
yes,
doing
sir.
The same
absolutely.
Thing, modern
you know,
day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know what I'm saying? And then just like, man, how they had did with these GMOs that are targeting, you know, the reproductive organs of black women. Now, there was a doctor who specialized in GMOs by the name of Dr. Ken Adams, and he made a video on it about 2.5 years ago. And he said that I'm a white guy, please don't hate me, you know, but I'm just letting, you know, y'all in the black community of what they're doing. So I have to respect the man on that. Although, you know, we got haters out there and what have you who say that this is bigotry and all this old type of business and stuff like that, and it is not. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so we've got Lady Che here, you know, in the studio with us. She got her hands up. Okay, so hold on there, Chef. Okay, oh yeah, Brother Chef. Yeah. Thank you for coming back. Okay, now Lady Che, what do you got to say about all this?
Yeah, I was like I was saying yesterday. On Front Line Black News, you know, it didn't make me feel no kind of way that they didn't stand up or they, you know, they didn't show any kind of respect. And actually, maybe even our own black people that don't even know that know the black national anthem. You know what I mean? So it doesn't surprise me that they wouldn't get up and acknowledge it. It doesn't surprise me that the hypocrisy for them wanting the respect for black people. When it comes to their fucking shit, you know, now they demand it, you know, and it, you know, we're kind of in a low level outrage about this. When in reality, you know, like I cannot honestly say that I've stood up for that shit because you know I've shit for a long time, you know, been mixed or whatever. Yeah, probably have a lot.
Right.
You know, when I was a lot younger. However. When I got more aware over the last last 2 years, I don't stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
I don't stand up for that shit. You know, I don't.
Right.
There's a lot of things I don't really stand for because it's lies. None but lies.
Right.
I can't even express how many lies they tell. You know, or try to what is it called? The Mandela effect, like right in front of our eyes. You know, like try to act like nothing is happening right in front of us when it actually is. You know, so I just want to participate. It doesn't make any difference to me if these crackers don't want to get on board. Good. I'm glad. I'm glad, too, that the coons are showing themselves, too, and they don't know this shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they everybody has a fucking opinion. But they're not out there singing it. They're not you know, involving themselves in anything that we're really doing to try to better ourselves, let alone empower ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another fucking mass of people, even in our own skin, that are designed to fucking kick us, shame us, or whatever. Just, like, laugh at them. They're stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck them.
Yeah. Now, yeah, and that's really sad on that. Okay, Sarge, now what is your rebuttal to that, sir?
It was a little difficult for me to hear. There's a lot of background noise and all of that. Can you kind of reiterate the thrust of what she said?
Okay, so basically the crux of it is, okay, and basically what she's saying is, she ain't standing up for the American flag. She ain't standing up, you know, for the Star Spangled Banner because of the brutalization of what they did to black folk. You see what I'm saying? Now, these crumb-bum-ass politicians.
I got real questions about this because I'd asked Jesse one day, when you go to political office and you actually run for political office, right? And I remember I was running for city council in Aurora. And I asked him, I said, is this going to be wrong? Is it bad form? Is it wrong for me not to want to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance because I don't believe in it? Is it wrong? Am I going to get chastised? Or is it like bad form or not a suggested act? Or, I mean, is it going to be some kind of like, you know, like a fine or some kind of crazy shit? Or is it just like, she didn't do it? And then so they talk shit for another couple months. Like, what is that? You know,
and right.
He just basically said, you don't have to do it. And it's not a good look. That's what
right.
I'm like, I'll take that bad
right.
look.
And that's how... Yeah, and that's how white hypocrisy is being forced on the black community with redlining, okay, refusing at one time to allow our black scholars, you know, to go to certain universities. And then they got the damn audacity to sit up here and want to charge HBCUs with discrimination because they're not supposedly not allowing white students to go. But, of course, we all know that there is a lie. Now, as Brother Che had stated, is that when it comes to Pan-Africanism, it appears in these current times that we here in the U.S. are the only ones who are standing on that square. But we got to get those in Pan-Africa to stand on the square, too. Now, let me ask you this here, Sergeant Chef. Ilhan Omar, what do you think about her, Sarge?
Well, look, sister got every right not to stand if she doesn't wish to for the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is her
right.
conviction and she thinks that's the right thing for her to do, then more power to her. However, I do not agree.
Okay.
In fact, I'm going to stand, and under the current flag etiquette, I'm going to salute because I'm a veteran. And you got the right to salute if
okay.
you're a veteran to the flag. Now, just put your hand over your heart. I'm going to stand up and salute. I'm going to exercise my choice as well. So that's the beautiful thing about the United States. When it comes to things like this, we got the right to exercise our choices. And I applaud everyone lawfully and constitutionally exercising theirs, just as long as you don't interfere with mine.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this here, Sarge. Would you stand for the red, black, and green flag and put a black glove on and put the black power sign in the air like what John Carlos did in 1968?
Well, why am I going to do that?
That's a great question.
Okay, because John Carlos, when he did this, him and Thomas
Smith, am I acting in a reenactment or something? If I'm doing it as some sort of historical reenactment, yes, I will do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm doing this as the pledge of some mythical and yet to be realized black nation, then no, I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now let me ask you this here, Sarge. Okay, good points that we're coming up on. Now, you're familiar with the red, black, and green banner by Marcus Garvey,
right? Very much
right?
so, ever since Marcus Garvey and the You Need a Mac to Have a Smooth. Yes.
No, okay. Now let me ask you this: if both those flags were on their own, okay. Now, if the RBG flag was on its own flagpole and the U.S. American flag was on its flagpole, and they're standing side by side, which flag should be higher? And you already know my answer.
Under current flag law and flag etiquette for the United States flag was flown on United States soil or on any United States installation or embassy. United States flag always assumes pride of place of height over any other flag. Period.
Okay. Now, Sarge, here we're getting ready to go, Sarge.
We're getting ready to rumble now.
We're getting ready to rumble now, Sarge. Okay. Now,
eraser,
I would use the American flag as a throw rug. I would use it to wipe my ass with it, but the RBG flag, man, goes up the top on any
of. Hey, if you own that flag, do what you will, but I'm going to look at you like you crazy. You can do what you want with your own flag if it's your own property. Just don't try to do it to my flag. That's all I got to say.
Man, who is this dude, man, my career?
One thing the United States has done fairly to us as black people on this part of the land. The United States have thoroughly brainwashed a lot of people when it comes to being in the militaries and all these installations that they have put together. But we gotta be out here doing the work. Some people, they read a lot, but they don't comprehend. Some people just get into this mode and getting soldiered up and going to drill, and then go out there and kill, and sometimes they don't even know the background of what the measures are or what they're going to do. They're just doing what's told to them. So we gotta realize this brainwashing technique they have done to our people has been in place for the last 407 years. So a lot of our people just can't identify. They up under these spells that they have put us up under, and we're going to defend whatever they say on their Constitution, even if the common sense you look at it is morally wrong.
Right.
And, I'm just looking at it from the standpoint.
Most definitely.
We need to really do a real makeover on our minds. We got to. I listened to the brother. The brother sounds brilliant. Brilliant brother.
Right.
And I respect how he perceives things, but I'm just telling you what some of the things that have been done to us, and we have to combat that foolishness and just with common sense and drill our people back to who they really are. So we can utilize this genius we got in our people. But we got to get that brainwashing technique that's colonized in mind to be more of a drill, and Caucasian doubt. And we got to feel black again, black and loving black again. We got to drill this in our people.
Yes, sir.
I mean, some of us sound brilliant, but a lot of our minds are colonized. We can't put ourselves back to being black. And that's what we gotta fight for. We gotta fight for our people that know themselves. And even the ones that know themselves, we just allow them to get out there and take the crumbs from the white man's table and use it against us. Because basically that is exactly what's going on. And that's exactly what's going on in our colleges. You're getting paid to finance and they're manipulating us economically, all across the board, and socially, and all this. We just got to look at it on all some planes. This is serious. We must take back.
You know, and then
black
also,
power.
Too, is that we always, okay, and also, we got to look at the fact, man, is that these people have experimented on us, man. They brutalized us, man. They broke the collective will of the black man on a collective basis.
Now, I can add to that, brother, we got to also look at the fact that most of our brothers and sisters that are in Africa that come over here, and they don't really know what they're coming into, but a lot of our people
people have been stolen from Africa through this adoption agency.
Right.
And these white people are colonizing
right.
our children from an early age. Once they get up to teenagers, they feel like they have to be loyal to the very ones that have manipulated their mind. And a lot of them don't mean
right.
no harm, but they don't understand the psychological setting of what they do when they brainwash the children to be loyal to
yes.
them when they're supposed to be loyal to their culture. But they take that from
right.
them. They take it from them through by this brainwash technique that they put over our
mm-hmm.
people. And this is what
yes,
this,
sir.
This
yes,
is happening
sir.
All throughout the globe, brothers. And if you out
yes,
there listening,
yeah,
you need to realize
real,
we need to bring ourselves back to being black and love self. I was just talking to one
yeah,
of my
yes,
sisters
sir.
The other day. Allowing her to know, like,
yes.
I mean, I understand it's the appropriate that you want. I suggest that you think out of your culture. That's my suggestion.
Wow.
Now, I'm not going to put no backing behind it, but it alleviates a lot of things when you're out here in society because some people, they're so ignorant, they don't know how, when they see people out of their culture, they feel like, oh, we should just mess with these people. I've seen it many times.
Right.
My cousin goes through it tonight. When these racist police officers
mm-hmm.
see you riding around with this white girl, and they pull you up, and they come to the window, knock on your window with a gun. If that ain't ever come to be
yeah.
the fact that I don't know what that is. But he didn't
yeah,
get it on
exactly,
he didn't
man.
Get it on video.
You know, I'll tell you too. Like, when growing up, you know, we suffer a lot within our own. You know, we got
right.
different levels of colorism, and we got different levels of upbringing, and we got different levels of culture. You know what I mean? We got some that are housebroken, buck broken, bucket outside, you know what I mean? And we got different
right.
levels that we've been kind of conditioned to follow. And so with that following,
right.
with that following, you know,
that's right.
we're conditioned to think about shit, and we're confused. And it ain't even
mm.
our motherfucking fault.
Mm-hmm.
We're
definitely.
Confused.
Yeah.
We don't know what the fuck to do, which way is right, which way is not. The moment we start to be really fucking pro-black and empowered, then they start saying, enough of that black shit, or, the, you know, you're doing too much, or you're going too hard, or, hey, it's them, too. You know, they got to catch their
catch. All people say that.
It's, you know what I mean? And in reality,
yes, sir.
Or they'll be like a mind your shade, or, you know, shit like that. And it's like, look,
mm-hmm,
man,
mm-hmm.
you know, how I see it is this. We've been fucked with our whole lives for generations.
Right.
And so we don't know which way to go at any given time. And no matter how much we want to teach everybody the same shit to get on the same alignment, we're teaching them at like two
right.
to five people at a time. We're not
right.
really reaching big masses. And if we are, there's some sort of magical trick to it. You know what I mean? But it's like 2 to 5, 10,
right.
20 people here and there to get on the same alignment. And then
okay.
they might get mixed around and hear some different kind of messaging. You know, because
mm-hmm.
their antennas are up. They're getting downloads from every direction. That's us.
Sure,
that's
yeah.
us. We getting our antennas is up. We get
yep.
downloads. All day long, different types of information specifically
mm-hmm.
for us. And we don't know which
right.
way to go.
That
and that's,
right.
the,
right.
that's the bad part.
Yeah, and then also too, I said we got Joe Gibson in the chat room right here. Okay, and then also too, Joe, man, you welcome to come in, man, you know, and put some insults in the chat room and what have you and what not, you say. But another thing, though, too, ladies and gentlemen, and then I said we have another unknown caller right here, which is all good. Just press one, and we'll be more than happy, you know, to unmute your mic and have you join the conversation. Now, Sarge, now one thing about you, Sarge, you and I have been going back and forth for years, man, and I may not totally agree with you, Sarge, but one thing about you, man, you are what we call in South Central Los Angeles a rider for real. You see what I mean? Because Sarge is well read now. Now, Sarge, you keep you on your toes, Sarge. So I got to look out for that left hook to yours, man. You decked me a couple of times, although I beat the count. You know what I'm saying? And what have you. Now, I got some knowledge up here for your ass, Sarge. You know what I'm saying? And what have you, man. Yeah.
Okay, brother, look, man. First of all, I'd like to make one thing. I do appreciate the comments of the brother. I like the brother who, even though, he may not agree with what I says, he respects the manner in which I say it, and that's all I ask for is a case of mutual respect and a fair hearing of the things that I say.
Okay, Sarge.
I'm not here to tell anybody what to think because that's not my job. My job is to be on your show, tell you what I think,
and
respond to the things that I hear you say. And that's all I intend to do.
Okay. Yes, sir, Sarge. You and I have disagreed vehemently, but we never disrespected each other. Now, Sarge, I got to ask you this question again. Okay. Over here at Super Bowl Day, you know what I'm saying? Las Vegas was mad. But there's a building here that's got the name Trump on it, and I'm going to say the dump, as in human shit. And we want to be perfectly clear, okay, on that. And the sucker's still unoccupied. So what's up with that, Sarge? I mean, is the Fed seizing it from a man that... SCCC or whatever, okay, and I believe we got Joe Gibson in here, okay.
Shabaka, there is something I'd like to respond to before I answer that question about culture and, and the idea of being faithful to and extolative of your culture. And, I'd like to respond to that because, look, now every time we talk about a subject involving black culture, I'm at the very least conversant in it, if not actually learned about it. I mean, I've studied black history and black culture. It's my culture. You understand? But here's the thing. The beautiful thing about being a citizen of the United States is this. Your legacy is everything involving American history, the good of it and the bad of it. So it's not just my black culture that I have to guard and safeguard. Mm-hmm. It is my legacy as a natural-born citizen of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I can lay claim to all of it, and I do. You understand?
Okay.
I'm not disavowing my black culture when I do it. In fact, you ain't going to find too many people in this life who extol the positive of black culture more than Sarge does. That the things, the noble and great things our ancestors have accomplished, I want everybody to know about. But that's not all of my culture. It isn't, and it never will be. I am a citizen and natural-born citizen of the United States, and I lay claim to all that makes the United States what it is. I will not disavow any of it.
Okay, man, you sound like that guy on Mission Impossible that Mr. Phelps used to go see. The secretary would disavow any knowledge of your actions.
I listen to the brother. I like what the brother is saying because if he's in the, he represent what he represent. And like you said, he's a natural citizen and he want to do what he want to do. I have much respect for my brother. I'm not never biased when it comes to loving black people. Some of my have different views, to me that we have a dislike for each other. I have a strong. I feel the brother is well educated in his career, and that is something that I most definitely take a look at. But how are we going to make this thing better for the whole agriculture? Because they did not pass the HR4 bill that represents George Floyd, and we is brown, and we get the same results when we out here in the streets when we're facing race soldiers out here in these halls.
I would never
take it personal because we're in a movement that's for the betterment of us as a people. So it's mutual respect, most definitely.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, okay. 1 second, Lady Che, and I'm gonna let you ask that question now. Okay. But I see we got a caller here with his hand up out of 336. The last three is 644. Okay. Last three, 644. Area code 336. You got your hand up, man. Your mic is on mute. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Shabaka, you know who it is. You asked me to come on, so I'm here.
Okay, Joe. You know, man, you know, it got a little rough for you the last time, man. So did Ange put the end swell on, man, and what have you, and give you the smelling salts and stuff like that?
Well, Joe? I think we can go back to our corners and go another round.
Okay, Joe. And we got the one and only Sarge on here. And Sarge, we thank you for showing up for duty, and you did report right on time, sir. Okay, Joe, what's on your mind? Okay, now, Joe, one thing I want to ask you, okay, that I asked Sarge and I asked Brother Chef right here. Okay, did you watch the Super Bowl yesterday, Joe?
I did watch a little bit of it. I just out of curiosity, but I just, as usual, it's just a dumb bowl. I call it the dumb bowl, but what's your question,
okay,
if you don't mind me asking?
Okay. Yes, sir. Okay. All righty. When they sang Lift Every Voice and Sing, I saw that the majority of the people did not stand for the Black National Anthem, Joe. Now, what do you say about that?
I think that's disrespectful.
Touchdown, Joe. For once, we finally fucking agree. Man, I'm going to know this day.
Hey,
man.
That's a miracle,
you know what
man.
I'm saying? Me and...
Peace
man,
on earth.
Man, I mean, damn. Now, you caught me with a left hook over my right hand, Joe. You know what I'm saying? Okay. And it was disrespectful, Joe, is because, as you know, Joe, down in North Carolina, South Carolina, and what have you, man, see, we built your nation. You see what I'm saying? Although you and I disagree on that, you know what I'm saying, but however, we're both as men, you know what I mean, and what
the question
not.
Should be,
Shabaka,
the question should be, how can we fix this from not happening again?
Oh, the reparations, $300 trillion in tangibles. Now, I know how you feel about that, Joe, is because as when we look at macroeconomics, okay. All right, so therefore, as the slaves had picked all that cotton, and as they said in the South, particularly down in Alabama, Mississippi, what have you, cotton was king. Okay, so therefore, Joe, as you know, where the gross national product is the total amount of good and services of the income that it generated in any given specific time, okay? And then, of course, as you are always talking about the banks, you know, on your platform, you make a lot of sense on that, but the damn Federal Reserve went and stole all the money, man, from the Freedmen Bureau's bank. You see what I mean? So then here comes the sharecropping system. Okay, then here comes the sharecropping system, all right? Well, you'll go out there, work for pennies, you see what I'm saying? Then you're going into debt, into the slave owner, and you're never getting out of debt. So it's a reinstituted form of slavery. Now, hold on, Joe. Now, keep in mind, and I'm sure you recall the great governor of Alabama, one and only Frog Face. Segregation yesterday, segregation today, segregation now. Oh, Frog Face Joe, old George Wallace, may rest in peace. Okay? Now, Governor Farber of Arkansas, when the Little Rock Nine was going to Central High School and Governor Farber stood up there in front of the door with an axe, you know what I'm saying? And then, of course, we're not going to talk about the little baby, little Ruby Ridges. You see what I'm saying? Where they had to have the National Guard escort that little baby going to school. She's only 6, 7 years old, man. She don't know nothing of all this. And Miss Ridges, if you're out there, ma'am, you know, please call in to our platform, ma'am, and share your experience. Now, here we go with this AI messing with us again. Oh, artificial intelligence can kiss my ass. Okay. All right. But anyway, okay. So, you know, imagine the fright of what that little baby had went through, Joe. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And
yeah.
Also, too,
yeah.
And if it, yeah, okay.
I agree.
Okay, see, so this is what the reparations is for, Joe. It's not so much for the slavery, but the Jim Crowism, you know, white only on a drinking fountain. Black only on the drinking fountain, which was the worst one.
Well, Shabaka, let me ask you.
Let me ask you something,
Shabaka.
Yeah.
It, look, I would say if there were any actual people that endured slavery today, that they were alive today, yes, I would agree with you 100%. They deserve every dollar of it. But are you saying that everybody who fights for freedom, though, I mean, should be rewarded money? I mean, there's lots of people that fought for freedom throughout the years
on
many different subjects.
Okay, but hold on, Joe. Okay, for one,
he's
we're having a civil conversation. Okay, and you got Sarge and working your corner. So I guess Sarge is your what was that dude's name, man? I forgot his name. Who used to work Marciano's corner? But anyway, though, Joe, it's like this right here. Had it not been for the initial investment of the slave labor that laid the groundwork of the gross national product of the United States, Joe. And that money was parlayed generation after generation after generation. Look at it the same way, is that you have a life insurance policy on a loved one who dies in an accident and you get paid the settlement. You see what I'm saying? Or you get paid the claim. So this is the method of what I'm using. And I want to know what Brother Chef has to say about that. Then we'll go to Brother Sarge, and then we got Lady Che in the studio as well, too. Okay, Brother Chef, what do you say on that there, sir? Brother Chef?
I'm sorry, you're talking to me? I'm sorry. You asked for Jesse.
No, I'm speaking to Brother Chef, who's calling out. He's calling out the 336 number. Right? Okay, Brother Chef, are you there, sir?
Brother Chef, are you still there?
I don't think he is.
No, oh, my man. Yes, sir. Yes, Brother Chef. Yes, sir, Brother Chef. And what I was saying, Brother Chef, is like this right here. Now, Joe, Nikki Haley, Uncle Tim, Sky, Warlock and what have you, Larry Elders, other ass-scratcher Leo Terrell who disagrees with the reparations. And I was using it, you know, as an example, like if you take a life insurance policy, right? And then, you know, and unfortunately, God forbid, you know, you come up deceased, okay? And then, of course, your family, you know, capitalizes or should get the insurance money, you see? So I'm using that same scenario right there in regard to the reparations of those who are descendants of slaves here in the United States. And I'm one of them because my ancestors slaved on the plantations of Montgomery, Alabama. Down there with old frogs. Old frogs.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
George Wallace.
Most definitely.
Of Alabama.
Like you, right. And then you got to look at it because that stuff done compounded over throughout these centuries. And that the interest that's been owed should be compounded as well. And not only that, I believe that, you know, just land within itself, that right there could be reparations, like four or five states. That could be reparations.
Yes.
Brother Chef, I hear what you're saying about the land. Here's the thing, though. What's good with the land if we can't defend it?
You can do it.
Millions of acres of land from the
right.
Okay, and we got
it. And also, you're gonna need money. You're gonna need money to tend the land.
Right.
You got to cultivate the land, and you're gonna need money to build on the land.
Reparations
quick.
You're absolutely right.
Yes, sir.
The land is included.
Yeah.
I mean, also, too, brother, we got factory in all the rights and minerals and everything to go with the land and air and everything on the land and around the air, around the shit. There's a whole bunch of costly shit that they're going to try to hit us with. But the most important thing I think we should really think about is all the ground and everything is fucking polluted.
Oh, man.
When everything is polluted.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
You can go as far as you want.
And you
got to. It's
And you got a point on that there, Lady Chairs, because look what happened, you know, when you had that oil leak out there in the Gulf of Mexico, you know what I'm saying, a few years back, of how it destroyed all the marshland, and then you got to look at that, all the radiation that's being dumped into the Pacific from the Tokyo Electric and Power Company, you know, when they had that meltdown over there with a nuclear power plant. Now, fortunately, old Gruesome Newsom, okay, had decommissioned the two nuclear power plants. Right. And then, right. And Gruesome Newsom, okay, had decommissioned those San Onofre nuclear power plants off the coast of California. You know that, okay? And then, of course, too, why the hell would you build nuclear power plants, man, on fault lines, man? I mean, this shit don't add up. You see what I'm saying? Now, the dump, as in human shit, and I want to make that perfectly clear, okay? He's a narcissist, okay? He's got money. The way how he's manipulating these courts and things of that matter right there, they're trying to discredit Fannie Willis, is because, you know, she had an extramarital affair, you know what I'm saying? And her and the gentleman that she was involved with, you know, that's adult material, you know what I'm saying? I don't think that they had no bearing on the case of her being the district attorney of trying to send Trump to the rightful place of where he belongs in a 4x8 cell walking the concrete. You know what I'm saying? I think all of us in one way or another got experience in that. It's nothing nice. You know, it stinks. It's concrete. You know, you got to shit in public. You know what I'm saying? You know, and it's really, really degrading. Particularly when you go through the Twin Towers there, you know, at the Los Angeles County Jail, you know what I mean? And then also, too, another thing, too, that Brother Che had brought up, these damn migrants, you know, because Brother Che did a YouTube Live last night on StreamYard, and I was just flabbergasted, Brother Che, where the damn mayor of Denver is giving all this money to these fucking migrants, you see what I'm saying? But don't want to take out reparations. Now, you see, Joe, that's a big form of hypocrisy on that point. And then also, too, if I may add, is that these...
I just seen an article that they're trying to make them police officers.
Trying to make them police officers. My. And then a warped city. And a warped city. Like Los Angeles, is going to allow them to carry guns and all this old type of crap, you know what I'm saying? And then a lot of them can't speak English, don't know the law. Now, tell me this, riddle me this. Okay, when you look at Cop Myla Harris, okay, who has a Doctor of Jurisprudence degree, Laura Coates, who has a Doctor of Jurisprudence degree. And by the way, Ms. Coates, you are welcome to call in anytime, ma'am. We would love to have you. Okay, let me see. And Kamala, who has a Doctor of Jurisprudence degree. You see what I mean? I have none of them have went after these murderous police officers, like in the murder of Philando Castile, and then like in the murder of little Tamir Rice, you know, a 12-year-old boy, you know, who was up here playing with a toy gun, and the gun was clearly marked, I believe, with a bright orange, bright yellow, or what have you, to signify that it is a toy. You see what I'm saying? But the cops go up there and shoot him. And then also, too, Sarge, as you know, what happened with Laquan McDaniel there on the south side of Chicago. And then even the president of the Philippines at that time had asked why the police agencies shooting black people after they're on the ground. Okay. The slave patrollers. You see what I'm saying? And down here in the great state of Texas, so Governor Bud, you know, he's sending all these migrants to the sanctuary cities. What did old Ted Cruz said? Now, here's one thing about Ted Cruz I like. You know what I'm saying? Because he stated how he honestly feel when he told everybody to kiss his ass and he turned them over a corona. You know what I'm saying? It's just a fucking ridiculous. Comments, please.
Well,
comments, please.
I think that the migrant situation obviously is out of control.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, we're going to have to tackle it a different way. And if they're not, I mean, it's kind of like a, I don't want to put all this energy into it when shit ain't really going to move, you know what I mean? What they're asking for is almost, they're not asking, they're forcing. It's demanding, it's a force, you know, and so we got our people outside actually doing the work, like in Chicago, you know, like here in Denver, we could continue to get, continue for them to waste money and everything. And the new mayor is just showing, he's doing what we already suggested you did. He's already showing his ass, he's already showing what he's a fucking deal. You know, they already thought that that little sincere face was like a serious thing. You know, it wasn't. And, you know, just him canceling the cold, or the, him vetoing the cold weather thing. You know, him not, you know, doing the right thing by the weather with everybody. That's fucking crazy in itself. Right. It just shows that, it just shows this is not going to go anywhere, really. And until somebody actually makes a substantial stance on it in one of the, like, either the local area or the statewide, or city, local and state, right? We're not going to be able to do anything. They got to stop that situation. We still hard pause or something, like. And then not only that, but I can't believe all these people are documented. So, you know, that's cap. They're doing a lot.
Okay, now here's the part that got me, Lady Che. Okay, not cutting your wisdom, Lady Che. Okay, and we got Lucy Libertarian in the chat room. Okay, Lucy Libertarian, feel free to comment and please call in. And the number to call in is 516-418-5996. Okay, now, these migrants who beat the shit out of the two NYPD officers, right, they get arrested, and then they released on a PR bond, personal recognizance bond, and what's the first thing they do? They come out of the police station, the press is right there, and they give everybody the finger, and then the black district attorney on it, you know, they put him up under fire, and Brother Che, you know, he's got some knowledge on that, and I'm going to ask Brother Che, you know,
he needs to be
knowledge
on
that. Right.
Yeah, that's the same DA that allowed Daniel Penny to damn near walk.
Right. Okay.
He was killing Jordan Ellis, and the No Black Media had to apply that pressure to get him to actually try him for killing Jordan Ellis.
Yeah, exactly. You see what I'm saying? And the dude was killed by a Marine. Okay. Now, Sarge is going to... We do got an echo. Okay. And then also, too, Lucy Libertarian, hello, finally managing to tune into your show after a long time, just listening for now. Okay, Lucy Libertarian, and thank you for joining the show right here. Okay, now, these guys, these migrants who came in here, okay, just like a podcaster says on his show right there, okay, is that you got these migrants coming in. Then you're spending money on giving them their quote-unquote gourmet dishes. Then you're turning around giving them fucking debit cards for them to get their ethnic dishes in and what have you. I just don't fucking get it. Now, the reason why I don't get it is because they hate us, one, for reparations, but you're taking all the taxpayers' money, black people included, feeding these individuals. You see what I'm saying? And Governor Bud Abbott, great state Texas, got the right idea in my opinion, put a wall up, put a fence up.
Denver has spent almost $1 million in the past year feeding these illegal immigrants.
Yeah, right, and they need to recall that damn mayor there, Mike Johnston, you see, because, you see, he's supposed to be taking care of the citizens, you know, and then he's taking these migrants and putting them up there in nice hotels and all that old kind of shit, you know what I'm saying? Hell, you might as well send him over here to Las Vegas, yeah, man, and really put him up.
And now they're giving them prepaid debit cards.
Yeah, that's the shit that kills me right there. You see, that's the shit that kills me right there. And then a lot of them is criminals, in my opinion, and what have you. You see what I'm saying? And it's just nuts. Okay, now let's go on here and talk about this subject right here. Okay, about the black banker from Nigeria that was killed not too far from here in Boulder City, Nevada. And he was killed a quarter of a mile from Interstate 15 in San Bernardino County. Herbert Wigwe, who was the chief executive officer of Access Bank, and then the former chairman of the Nigerian Exchange Group, according to the director general of the World Trade Organization. Question, was he set up? Was he having a vision, you know what I'm saying, to unite all of Pan-Africa economically? You see what I'm saying? Was he about to reach out for those of us of African descent here to come back to the continent, you see? So what was up with that? And then they're going to bring him over here to the Super Bowl, you know what I'm saying? His oldest son was killed. He was killed. His wife was killed and things of that nature right there. Is it to the point? Okay, well, these Europeans are hating us so damn bad that they're trying to exterminate us there and take black people off the continent and then, you know, going in and steal all the resources. Comments, please.
Yep. This
is what you get for voting blue no matter who. Mm-hmm. For open borders. And they need to all be responsible.
Yep.
All need to be kicked out of office. And to be voted out of office in November.
Right.
Because if you keep voting blue, no matter who,
right,
what you're allowing. And this is coming to a hood in a city near you. Don't think because you're in,
yeah,
in
exactly,
a non-sanctuary city that it's not going to happen to
right,
you. It's coming.
Exactly. Yeah.
As long as Jim Crow Biden is in office and the Democrats are
right,
in control of things.
Right, okay. Now, let me ask you this here, Brother Che. Do they got Jim Crow Biden on his adequate supply of Pampers and diapers and stuff like that? Because I'm tired of seeing that dude shitting on himself, man. Yeah.
See, he needs to be in a goddamn
yeah,
nursing home, DeMarcus.
Well, sir, you will get no
argument
not
from me
on
the
goddamn
that president. He can't even remember. Vice President.
Yeah.
Long ago.
Yeah, yeah.
He can't even
yeah,
remember.
And
when the other.
Yep, and then too, ladies and gentlemen, and then the cold part about it as well too is that they figuring that the black community is going to sit up here and turn out for them, you know what I mean? And this is going to be the most difficult or the most controversial presidential election year since 1968. And I lived through the presidential election year of 1968, although I was a tiny tot, you know, but I still got memories of it. Okay, Joe Gibson. Now let's go to you, Joe.
Yes.
Okay, and then, of course, we got to go to the one and only Sarge, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, Sarge, you know, they're putting some inswell on my eye as well, too, you know. Ribs is hurting a little bit. Okay, now, what do you feel about that there, Joe?
What's that? I didn't catch
okay,
you.
About how they're saying that old Hyde and Biden may be getting senile, old, shitting
oh, yeah,
on himself,
well,
you know what I'm saying?
That's self-evident. He's not even really the president anyway. He didn't even win the election, you know. But that's, you know, we're just
okay,
letting that slide, I guess. I mean, it's a fraud. I mean, the guy is obviously doesn't know where he's at. He needs to be told to sit down in the corner someplace.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this here, Joe. Okay. Now, in the event that Biden is declared incompetent or incapacitated, and I believe Sarge would know, is that there the 25th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, Sarge? What would happen if old Cop Mala, you know what I'm saying, was to become your president of the United States, and old Joe Biden will have to sit down there and resign at 12 o'clock tomorrow morning?
Well, We'd be in, I don't know if we'd be in just as much trouble. I mean, she's definitely not qualified. I mean,
well,
she, you know that. You know, I mean, we'd be in bigger trouble. I mean, what could we do? I mean, what can we do? This country's screwed up as it is.
Well, yeah, that it is, Joe. That it is. You know, I mean, damn, Joe, what happened, man? Why are we agreeing all of a sudden? Okay,
I don't
now
know,
we got to go to our man. Yeah, we got to go to our man there down in the great state of Georgia, the Peach State, the one and only Sarge. Now, what is your opinion on all this here, Sarge?
Well, where do you want me to start? I mean, you got a lot you're throwing at me here. I just answer the last question first. I think the very possibility to even contemplate the possibility of the brain dead, constantly inebriated Kamala Harris as President of the United States is almost too god awful to even contemplate. And it shows the reckless policy of the identity politics of the Demon Rat Party to put a creature like that in a position where she could even be President of the United States.
Okay, now let me ask you this here, though, Sarge. Now, you know old Kamala's got a tainted past, right? Okay. Would you get with Kamala Harris, man, if she went there and offered that to you, Joe? I mean, Sarge.
Well, if you want to know the truth, and you don't mind me being crude about it, I'll answer.
Right. Sure.
I hit that pig just to hear a squeal. And by the way, I feel the same way about Fannie Willis, too.
Okay, I ain't too mad at Ms. Willis, you know what I'm saying, and what have you, okay, it's because, you know, as it says, these are some crazy, crazy, weird times that we're going through here, ladies and gentlemen, in the first quarter.
Ain't it, though?
Yeah, in the first quarter of the 21st century, yes, sir, you know what I'm saying, okay, now. The next question is here, folks, okay, and I hate to have to be so blunt, but I'm going to have to tell it, and my next comments is for those over 18 years of age. Okay, now what about these guys who are identifying as women and they're shoving ketchup up their asses and saying that they are menstruating? Now, what's up with that?
Yeah, you mean they shove frozen tomato sticks up their behinds, and then when they melt, they say they're on the period. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's sickening as it may
like
be.
Like I said, man, transgenderism is a per se indication of mental illness. There can be no other way to describe it. The only question is the degree of it. But in and of itself is a manifestation of someone who is mentally ill and needs treatment, not celebration.
Right. Okay. You'll get no argument from me on that day,
Sarge.
I've never seen our
inability to tell the truth about things so much.
Yes,
why
sir.
Why was
you know,
doing
and also, yeah, and it's just downright crazy, Sarge, is because you do know, Sarge, if you're over there in San Francisco County and they only got one city in San Francisco and the name is quite obvious, do you know, man, if you do not refer to one of them men as a woman, what he identifies with, you're doing 90 days in a county jail over there, Sarge?
Wait a minute. You tell me they're going to put you in jail for a word you use? That's kind of a violation of the First Amendment. Where is this?
Oh, very much so. In the California state law and in the municipal codes of the great city and county, the great place called San Francisco, you know, by Frisco Bay, you know, the Barbary Coast, as in
barbarians. Has anybody been in prison under this statute yet?
I believe so, Sarge, but what I would do, I would research it, you know, to
be
actual, because as you know.
It's got to be unconstitutional.
Hell yeah, it's got to be unconstitutional. You know, as long as you're not going up there putting your hands on that fool, man, and he's up there, you know, switching or doing whatever he wants, man, you shouldn't be arrested, but the city law there is such, if you do not call this man a woman or quote-unquote by his pronoun, as they had a case in the city of Chicago with it, and I'm going to let Brother Che elaborate more on that with Joshua, okay? Yeah, man, it's crazy. It's because up in the city of Chicago, they had somebody did a video where old Joshua wanted to go off into the woman's restroom in Chicago, right? So the woman, the mother of a 12-year-old girl whose little girl had to use the restroom, says, no, man, you ain't going in there because my little baby is in there. You see what I'm saying? So her motherly instincts to protect her child had kicked in. So what had happened is old Joshua is going to go up there and say he's a woman, he's going into the restroom. So fortunately, Sarge, you know, some of the thugs in Chicago stepped up and says, no, man, that's not happening. So I guess Joshua had went on. Now, the old mayor there, the city of Chicago, Brandon Green or Brandon or whatever, no, Brandon Johnson, he's incompetent. Karen Bass in Los Angeles is incompetent, and Eric Adams is just a plain nut job there in New York City. And like I said, now, the part that really pisses me off, being a descendant of African slaves here from Montgomery, Alabama, in Montgomery, in or around, I might add, you know, I'm highly, highly upset with that, because here you're saying that you don't have no money for reparations, but yet, though, you're setting aside billions, if not trillions of dollars for these damn migrants. And then there in the city of Denver, the mayor there, Mike Johnson, says, well, we're going to do all this here for migrants and this, that, there, the other. But now he's got the jumble of the books right there, you know, to make the city budget happen. It's because these migrants is a strain on the damn U.S. economy. But yet, though, the hypocrisy of the situation, and it's not even a paradox, Sarge, it's hypocrisy, but no, but we can't give you colored folks no reparations. What is that? Comments, please.
Look, it's kind of hard for me to be opposed to the concept of reparations when they're giving all this money to illegal aliens. I got to admit that. They made it difficult.
Okay,
but I'd
Sarge,
like to point out to you that this is the policy of the most anti-constitutional, un-American a party that has ever existed, the modern-day demon rat party.
Right.
It's their policy more than anything else. That's what they do. It's not what those of us who are opposed to it would like to see happen. They're just doing it.
Right.
And the only thing that's stopping them from doing it is the people that keep voting for them. Vote them out.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop being so afraid of Republicans.
Oh, I agree.
Get rid of these demon rats.
Yeah, exactly. Right, right. I
that's
agree.
What I said,
Charles.
I just said that.
Right.
I want to reiterate then.
No matter who, vote them out.
I want to reiterate then. We have to stop being so afraid of Republicans and swallowing all the propaganda. The Democrat, the Republicans going to put you back in chains, going to put you back on a plantation. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Get rid of these demon rats.
Okay, Sarge, you'll get no argument from me, man. It was the damn Democrats that brought you the Ku Klux Klan. You know what I'm saying? You know? And then I believe old Frog Face down there in the great state of Alabama. You know, I believe he was a demon rat, too. You see, actually, get rid of both these raggedy-ass political parties, you see what I'm saying? But they're so damn entrenched, you see what I'm saying, and got so much economical power, it makes the third-party candidates almost impossible. Okay, so the next thing that we need to do, Sarge, is black people to shore up our economical basis and start trading with ourselves, employing ourselves, putting our own people to work. Oh yeah, what's gonna happen on that? Then you get some jack off like Larry Elders to say, well, you black folks are discriminating against white folks. White folks ain't never been discriminated against, man. White America cannot relate, man, due to the brutalization that we went through. I don't even believe that they couldn't conceive it. Now, when you look at that transvestite down there in the state of Florida, yeah, the panties, I'm saying you wearing women's underwear, your ass is welcome to call up too, okay? well, we're not going to teach critical race theory. Nikki Haley saying that same bullshit. Well, you know, it makes white people feel bad. Hey, imagine how bad we felt, you know, on them plantations working sun up to sun down with no paycheck. You see what I mean? Then not to mention the fact of all our intellectual property that was stolen. You see what I'm saying? Like Elijah McCoy, Sarge, and as you know, Sarge, there in Illinois, you passed Ebony Magazine or Johnson Publications so many times, and I got some books here from him, written by the one and only Mr. Lerone Bennett. You know what I mean? Okay, very, very scholarly man, you know, and then not only that, that there were other patents that were stolen, you know, by black folk as well, too, because, you know, all the intellectual property of the slave became the property of the slave master, too. Now, see, this is where me and Pianchi have our difference at, you see what I mean, and what have you, you see, but I don't hate Pianchi. I could care less if he hates me or not, but he just can't take this heat. You see what I mean? You know, it's because here's Shabaka's Pack Experience Enhancement. We deal with a whole lot of unpleasant issues, such as Carolyn Bryant in regard to Emmett Till. You know what I mean? You know, she's going to go tell her husband that he whistled at her. And now, I'm thinking that Carolyn Bryant did that, you know, to quench an evil spirit within her. Now, Carolyn Bryant, may she rest in piss, you know, that she was up there in the old folks' home saying, well, she's 88. We can't charge her because she lied and what have you. No, they should have hauled her raggedy ass right up there in the court, you know, and hit that woman as conspiracy to commit murder. You see, because she went there and told her husband, who wouldn't got his brother, and they go to Emmett Till's house and barge on in and take Emmett Till and his father out, you know what I mean, and whatnot, and did all kind of things. And this is why Mamie Mobley had placed her son on public display over there at Raines Funeral Home in Chicago, Sarge. I know you're familiar with it, on the south side there, and showed the world how horrible of what they did to her son. He was only 14 years old. You see what I'm saying? 14 years old, and then his brother Che brings up, look what they did to George Skinny, another 14-year-old. They give him the death penalty. He had no legal representation. He had no bail. His parents were not even allowed, you know, to contact with him or show up in the court. And they're going to execute him, and he's only 14 years old. So you see, Joe, this is the basis or some of the basis of the reparations, Joe. You see what I'm saying? And keep in mind, these events happened way after slavery, Joe. And then, too, Joe, in the great city of Los Angeles in 1991, you know, where they made Rodney King famous, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, by the Los Angeles Police Department. And, Sarge, I thought you was going to read Chief, you know, by that psychopath by the name of Daryl Francis Gates, who was the chief of the LAPD. And then Foothill Division of the LAPD, where they administered this punishment on Mr. Rodney King, you know what I'm saying, beat him to a pulp. And then when the rebellion went down in 1992, they're going to sit up there, hey, Rodney King, we need you to come on TV and say, can we just get along? Come on, gentlemen. Come on. Come on. Comments, please.
I don't know, man. I think it's kind of a tough slog to make a case against Carolyn Bryant for murder or a conspiracy to commit murder. That's going to be a tough slog, no matter how you look at it.
Okay, well, here's the beauty of it, Sarge. Yeah, great news, Sarge. Great news. Great news. Great news.
Sarge.
Carolyn Bryant is dead.
Sarge. Hold on. Let me break this down.
I'm speaking theoretically. Let's say she was still alive. I know she's dead.
They had a warrant.
Yeah, and may she rest in peace.
They had a warrant, though, Sarge.
You know?
They had a warrant for Mississippi Courthouse, and the basement of the Mississippi Courthouse, and they refused to serve the warrant.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I would say since a criminal charge was never initiated, I would say statute of limitations had long been extended. There's just no way to get around that.
Mm-hmm.
No way to get around that.
Okay.
You can't retroactively make the law. You can't do that.
sorry. Is there a special limitation on murder?
I don't see how you're going to make a case for murder. How you going to make a case for murder just because there's a warrant out on him? The warrant wasn't for murder or accessory to murder.
What was the warrant for?
I believe it was for perjury or some process crime of some sort. But it wasn't accessory to murder or conspiracy to murder. I mean, those are the only things that would apply without a statute of limitations.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hold
it doesn't matter
guys.
What the crime
no,
is. That's
I'm
an inviolate rule.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Okay, Sarge. I'm pulling up information here. Carolyn Bryant Donham dies at 88. Okay. Her words, boy, I'm so sick and tired of this damn AI. Okay. Okay, she died at the age of 88, okay? And then I'm pulling it up right here, Sarge, because they got several cases on her. Not cases, but articles on here. And this article that I'm reading right here is as follows, okay? Carolyn Bryant Donham, who accused him of Till before he was lynched, dies at 88. Great Step Jackson, Mississippi. The white woman who accused Emmett Till of whistling at her, causing his 1955 lynching in Mississippi, which galvanized a generation of activists to rise up in the civil rights movement. Carolyn Bryant died in hospice care Tuesday night in Westlake, Louisiana, according to a death report filed Thursday in the Calcasieu Parish Coroner's Office. Her death marks the last chance for anyone to be held accountable for a kidnapping and brutal murder that shocked the world. Okay, now, Sarge, for a kidnapping and brutal murder that shocked the world. Okay, now, Emmett's mother, Ms. Mamie Till Mobley, insisted on an open casket funeral in Chicago, Sarge, which you're familiar with, so the world could see her 14-year-old son's mutilated body, which was pulled from a river in Mississippi. Jet Magazine published the photos. Now, keep in mind, two gentlemen, is that there was a monument to Emmett Till over there by that river, and I guess, you know, some of the good old boys, when they get drunk and get filled up with Jack Daniels, I.W. Harper, you know what I'm saying, you know, they go shoot up the grave marker like they do Fred Hampton's grave marker in Chicago. This is why I appreciated, you know, what happened down there in Montgomery last August, you know, when a brother threw his hat in the air, putting out the SOS, and the black community came here, and the brother used the chair, you know, because the folding chair is a multi-purpose device. I mean, you could pull out the chair to sit there, rest your ass. You could fold up the chair and use it to beat some ass. Okay, so these good old boys and good old girls, you know, out there, you know, and the black community was really fighting Jack Daniels, I.W. Harper, smearing off. You know what I'm saying? Johnny Walker and what have you. And they beat the dog shit out of him, and I support that. Okay, now, okay, evidence indicates a woman identified Till to Donham's then-husband, Roy Bryant, and his half-brother, J.W. Miller, who killed the teenager. An all-white jury acquitted the two white men in the killing, but the men later confessed in an interview with Look Magazine. Now, you know, Sarge, they only deliberated less than 30 minutes when they came to that verdict, right? So this is what pisses me off about the O.J. Simpson case, where everybody was saying that O.J., you know, is really guilty, this, that, dead, or other, and all this old kind of shit, you know what I mean? You know, and just like Sarge, we discussing about the motion picture Mandingo, where Hamill was raping Brenda Sykes on a regular basis, you know what I'm saying? And then I don't want to use the word got her pregnant, but he violated her and that there was offspring of it. Okay. So what did the old white woman say? She go tell old Uncle Remus right there, you go tell me, tell him to come here. So old Meade goes up there, and as you know, Sarge, you and I in the same age group, that Muhammad Ali really publicly came down on Ken Norton for playing that part. You know that, right? So old Meade goes up there, lays the white girl, then old Hamill comes back seeing his wife is pregnant. Okay. So the baby is born. Hamill sees that the baby was black. And what did Hamill do? He took old Ken Norton, put him in a boiling vat, and boiled him literally alive. Now, riddle me this here, Sergeant Joe Gibson. Why are black people in the United States of America supposed to give white America for that? Comments, please.
I couldn't answer that.
Okay, Joe. At least you're being honest. Okay.
Wait, but you are aware that Mandingo and Drum were works of fiction, aren't you?
Okay, but however though, Sarge, it was works of fiction based on historical facts. Okay, like when you look at Rocky, you know what I'm saying? And I like the Rocky movies. Okay, when Rocky or Sylvester Stallone made that picture in 1976 where he won the Best Picture Award, and rightfully so, okay, everybody knew that Apollo Creed was Ali. But one thing I think the greatest heavyweight champion of all time for, he never wore no damn Star Spangled Banner drawers or boxing trunks. Okay.
Well, that's
now,
why they were
Sylvester
even though he was styled after Muhammad Ali, it was quite obviously they weren't saying that he was Muhammad Ali.
Okay, Sarge, I understand that.
That's what you do in movies when you are sort of echoing something, but you don't want to say you're aping it or copying it.
Okay, Sarge, I grew up in Los Angeles near where that sick institution of Hollywood is. Okay, yeah, you're right. But it was a box office smash. You know, I enjoyed all the Rocky movies, you know, because, hey, I just need to go the distance. And then we liked it, Paulie and Adrian. And then the guy who I really liked was old Burgess Meredith, where he was Mickey, his trainer, you know what I'm saying? You know, who used to be Penguin on old Batman series. Okay. But the fact of the matter is, though, Sarge, you know, they hated Ali so much, you see, because of what he did. You know, he exercised his constitutional right as a conscientious objector. And he went down there to the great state of Texas, down here, Governor Bud, you know, Ted Cruz, what have you. And he speaks at the University of Texas. And Sergeant, they call an Ali every draft dodger, NGR term, black bastard, the list goes on and on and on. So the greatest got up there and said at the podium inside the auditorium, he says, you know, you all say I should go to Vietnam. You all say that I'm a coward. You all won't even stand up for my religious beliefs for the ground of my refusal to be inducted. And then you all call me all these foul names and stuff like that. If I'm going to go die, I am prepared to die fighting one of you. Now, Sarge, riddle me this. After Ali made that statement, how come, you know, you could hear a pin drop in the room? Comments, please.
Well, obviously, you
Sarge.
Made a statement provocative, but I'd just like to remind you that Muhammad Ali, despite his unwillingness to serve in the Vietnam War, said that if the United States
uh-huh.
was invaded, he would not hesitate to join the United States Armed Forces. He said that, too. So keep that in mind.
Okay, I believe, Sarge.
That he was not willing to go to the Vietnam War.
Okay, Sarge, I think I saw that same interview. Was that the interview with Ed Bradley or Howard Cosell by any chance?
I saw many interviews with him with Howard Cosell, many.
Yeah, we all did. Okay. But I do know that Ali, but I think Ali was speaking of, Sarge, of more preserving himself than the country, Sarge, you know, based on my recollection of it.
See what he said. He said if the United States was invaded, he would not hesitate to go into the United States Armed Forces, whether he be inducted or whether he decided to volunteer. He said that clear as a bell. I remember it distinctly. In fact, the reason I remember it is
okay.
because I was somewhat surprised by it.
Okay. Now, and I do recall, Sarge, now keep in mind, Sarge, you was grown
no,
at that time.
Me.
I think I was.
This is this country, too. This is a country where he prospered in spite of the obstacles against him. Why wouldn't he want to fight for it if it was invaded by a foreign enemy?
Okay. But Sarge, boxing is a brutal business, just like Miss Velvet Green, the quote Ali. No, not the quote Ali, but the quote Bondini, you know, in his book that Bondini had said that Miss Velvet Green is the most evilest bitch he ever seen. That's Bondini's words, not mine. Now, what had happened was Miss Velvet Green would show up at all his fights, and Ali, you know, was signing autographs because he always signed all the autographs for his fans, even if he stood there 8 hours to do it because he did it in Los Angeles. And Ali says, okay, man, thank you for coming to the fight. And Miss Velvet Green says, Sergeant, these are her exact words. I go to all your fights because I want to be there when they bash your face in. You can see the nigga and this, that, there, the other, and all these racial slurs and diatribes and things of that nature right there, Sarge. You know what I'm saying? I even had people up here on Facebook telling me Ali was a coward. And I told them, if that man was so much of a coward, why don't you go up there, man, go 3 rounds with him, and I bet you he'll make a coward out of you at the end of the first round. Particularly, Sarge, in the 1960s.
I'll have you know, if you ever studied the background of Muhammad Ali, he explained that one of the reasons he adopted the Gorgeous George-type persona was to get people to hate him enough to want to buy tickets so they could come and see him get his ass beat. So if somebody hated Muhammad Ali that much, then they were responding to the strategy that he himself said he developed in order to entice them into the arena.
Okay, but Sarge, now let me explain something to you, Sarge, as you well know. Boxing is a very, very brutal business, Sarge. You know what I'm saying? And he disappointed them every time.
Muhammad Ali got what he wanted. He said, if Elizabeth Taylor, whoever else said, she came there to see him get knocked out, then he succeeded in his objective.
Okay, but Sarge, let me ask you a question. If you got off in that boxing ring, man, doing that there for a living, man, don't you think you deserved all the money, man, that you generated? Because I think you and I had the same conversation with Ali versus Marciana.
Well, obviously you deserve the fruits of your labor. That's not even arguable.
Okay, Sarge.
Fought infinitely more people into the ring than he would have if he'd just been a conventional fighter. People responded to his charisma and his magnetism and his big mouth and everything else. They came into the arena either to see him be a victor or see him be defeated. But the main point of it is that they came, and that's what he was banking on. That was part of the reason why he adopted that persona he did when he watched Gorgeous George wrestling as a youngster. That's one reason he adopted that whole shit.
Okay. Now, changing the subject,
folks. He said that repeatedly throughout his career.
Okay, I've read his book twice, Sarge, The Greatest My Own Story, and he also wrote a sequel to it called Soul of the Butterfly that I'm going to read
He said about Gorgeous George and how he admired the way he did the business and got people to come in the ring to see him get whipped.
Okay, but also, too, though, Sarge, you know, wrestling is fake. It's staged. Boxing is
fake. No, wrestling is no more fake than a movie is fake. It's choreographed and scripted. It's not fake.
All right. Well, what I'm saying,
say a movie is fake
because
it's a script and it's choreographed.
It's like an athletic soap opera.
That's what it is. It's an athletic soap opera.
Okay.
The script and choreography.
Okay.
It's not fake.
Sarge. Okay. Okay, but Sarge, 6-1, half dozen in the other. Okay. 2 + 2 = 4, just like 2 × 2 = 4.
I mean, you know, the audience is in on the gag, man. Nobody's fooling anybody. The audience is in on the gag.
Sarge, about political prisoners here.
Most of the people understand, you know, it's like watching any performance.
Okay, okay, okay. Now, let me ask you this.
You
got to
miss some of the things those guys do were pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah, well, of course, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, athletically,
here in Las
Vegas. I mean, it's a brutal type of ballet. Athletically, those guys, in many cases, are very highly conditioned athletes.
Oh, yeah, I would say, man, to withstand all that pounding and bouncing off the floor and all that, you got to have a sense of resilience. Okay, now, let me ask you this here, Sarge, and let me ask you this here, too, Joe Gibson. Okay, political prisoners of the United States of America, and also, too, Brother Chad, I'd like to get some of your comments on this here, too, man, you know, coming out the studio. And I'm mainly speaking, Sarge, of Assata Shakur and Mutulu Shakur and Angela Davis. Okay. Now, what do you feel about them? Because this is Black History Month.
I really got a kick out of Angela Davis being realizing that she was related to an ancestor that came over on the Mayflower. That really gave me a kick. She didn't know what to say.
Okay, well, that's the rape and slavery. Okay, that's the rape and slavery.
I really got a kick out of that
one, to say the truth. Okay, that's the rape and slave trading pedophile, Sarge. You know what I'm saying? Okay. And keep in mind, man, is that this is why, you know, when all these white guys is going to see and they dead went to why the white woman would go get the black man. But with the black man,
I don't think
you know, like in a motion picture.
I don't think the Mayflower ancestor was a slave owner. They weren't. I don't think any of them owned any slaves. Not the Mayflower.
Oh, yes, they did, Sarge.
No, not the
yes, they did, Sarge, and I wish one of our scholars was here, man, you know, on the book of 1620. Now, wait a minute. Brother Chad.
And even
oh,
then,
okay, I'm gonna
I don't think it was Angela Davis's ancestor, if there were.
Okay, Brother Chad. Okay,
the first officially certified slave owner by a court in the North American British colonies was a black man named Anthony Johnson. That was in the 17th
okay,
century.
You're talking about 1619. Okay, you're talking about 1619.
No, I'm talking about after that. He had a slave named Cato who sued for his freedom, and Anthony Johnson took the matter to court and said, no, I own this man. He's not an indentured servant. I own him. The court heard his claim, upheld his claim, and he was the first slave owner in the American British colonies to have his claim to a slave upheld by a court in Virginia.
Okay. Okay. Now, also, too, Sarge, you know about the Casual Killing Act, too, right? Now, this is what I'm trying to get Joe Gibson to understand.
What act?
Okay.
What act?
The Casual Killing Act. Would you being the owner of this slave? No. The Casual Killing Act is that if you own this slave and he gets disobedient, man, that you could kill him because he was your property. You see what I'm saying? Just like how people who have pets like dogs, cats, see, they are property. You see what I'm saying? They don't even have any living being rights, let alone human rights, because, you know, they're not human. Okay.
Okay,
but,
well, what
but
colony
the thing
was
is,
this passed in? Because not every
this
colony
is in Virginia.
Was
Okay, now this was in Virginia, you know, the one they
well,
named
saying,
after
they
the Virgin Queen.
Colonies. They all didn't have the same rules with regard to slaves. Some slaves, some colonies made it a crime to abuse or kill a slave. A couple of slave owners were actually hanged. It wasn't many. I think it was two who were actually hanged for murdering slaves. So it depends on the colony.
I see.
It's like today, in some states, you can just kill babies in the womb at will. In other states, you can't. The states, the colonies back then were similar in that respect, too.
Okay, so you're talking about Roe versus Wade now. Okay,
I'm
all
talking
right.
about
the
dissimilarity in states with regard to human life. Not all, even during slave times, not all the colonies were identical in the ways their laws either mandated treatment of slaves or protected them. Some were more brutal than others.
Okay.
California is a baby-killing abattoir, whereas Alabama extends as many protections to unborn babies as they can. So you see, there's a world of difference depending on where you live in the colony.
Okay, Sarge, California is its own planet, okay? And that's why I'm so glad I'm the next state over there, because
well,
I believe, man,
it's
one night...
It's the most popular state in the Union. I mean, it's not like this chopped liver.
You know what, California? No, the only reason California became a
state,
man, because they was bum-rushing that gold. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they were bum-rushing that gold. And then, of course, two SARS, you know, the California's first black banker by the name of William Lutherson.
Yeah, they got a lot of illegal aliens.
In California, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, because San Diego is literally across the street from Mexico. You know that, right?
That's right.
Literally across the street, like El Paso, Texas is. You see what I mean?
That's right.
Okay.
And, in fact, a lot of them illegal aliens, they can't get through in Texas anymore, so now they're trying to get through Arizona, New Mexico, and California, because they can't bust in through Texas anymore. They got the illegal alien counters down to single digits in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You see, walls work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, walls work. Who would have thought that walls actually work? You know, they put up razor wire. It keeps people out, just like the demon rats put up razor wire around the Capitol after January 6th, and it kept American citizens out of the Capitol. Who would have thought it? It actually works for illegal aliens, too. Gee, they told us all along it wouldn't work.
Okay, okay.
One thing about Democrats, man, they tell us big lies consistently, man. I got to give it to them.
Okay, now hold on, Sarge. Now look at the lies that they told us as a people, that we was ugly. But I find it very interesting, and you're welcome to comment on this here too, Joe Gibson, because a lot of this here happened in great state North Carolina. You know, where they take young black girls 13, 14 years old and sell her as a bed wench, man. And then they'll take even little baby girls, you know, 2, 3 years old, and they never see their mamas again. See, that's another reason for the support of separation, Sarge. Because, see, that there is, you know, is an act wrong within itself. Because you have acts that violate statutes, and you have acts that are wrong within itself. You see, that's what Black Tuesday was all about, you know, or Black Friday, I'm sorry. You know, like where everybody bum rush Walmart to go get all that overpriced bullshit that they making. That's what Black Friday was about, is that the slave owners would go buy black girls for their teenage sons, you see what I'm saying, to start breeding slaves. But then what happened, Sarge, the white slave owners, see, he would spend more time with his bed once than his wife. So then his wife got jealous and said, well, go get Mead over there. You see what I'm saying? And then, just like when you see the motion picture, Jennifer, I'm making a point. Okay, I'm making a point, Joe. Okay, and then, you know, a black man get caught with a white woman. Well, we got to castrate him. Muhammad Ali said that in Zaire, 1974. You know what I'm saying? No, 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 we are not brothers. Brothers don't take brothers and cut off their private parts and put it off in their mouth and then hang them, man, and then barbecue them. And they used to have picnics at these events. I think a few of these events happened in your great state of North Carolina, Joe. You know what I'm saying? But white America don't want us to realize that. Oh, just forget about it. Yeah. Joe.
I'm not supposed to know where this stuff happened. You're talking 300 years ago. I mean, can you talk about something like within the last 5 years?
Okay, but Joe, this shit happened within like the earlier part of the 20th century. Look at Black Wall Street, Joe, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, 1922.
Yes, we know. These things happen, I agree with you.
Okay, now, Joe. Okay, Joe, now, I visited Black Wall Street a couple of months ago. I literally went down there and visited Black Wall Street, and I saw the name of a business that had the slave name of my people, you know what I'm saying? And I spoke to some family members who researched that genealogy, went all the way back to 1840, Montgomery, Alabama, on the plantation, okay?
So that place owes you money, too? Do you own some of that business now because they share your name?
Okay, no, the slave name. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say what my slave name is. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so therefore, Joe, is that, you know, family member, you know, had a great deal of knowledge on this. You know what I'm saying? Says that now we can't trace them as of yet, you see. But it has been traced to Montgomery, Alabama, you know what I'm saying, where there was family members of mine that did have the slave name of Montgomery, and I'm going to say it on that. And I'm going to tell you something too, Joe. When I was down here in the South, I went through Montgomery, Alabama, man, in the middle of the night, and you know what song kept going through my mind, man, when I looked at them trees down in the Panty State, great state of Florida, the weeping willows, and crossing Louisiana, a song kept going through my mind, Joe, by Billie Holiday, called Strange Fruit. You know, Strange Fruit hangs here, black body blowing in the southern breeze.
I mean, yeah, you got PTSD over nothing.
No. I got PTSD, man, because that did happen to my family. You see what I'm saying? So, of course, you know, man, we're going to have PTSD behind that. You know what I'm saying? And then also,
that's another claim,
okay,
right
no,
there.
No, that's my claim for reparations right there. No, that's the claim for reparations right there, Joe. Okay, now get this here too, Joe. Just like I told Sarge, one day I was in Hollywood, man, when I was 19 years old, man, and I got pulled over by the Hollywood Division, Los Angeles Police Department, you know, old Daryl Gates' organization, you know, the ones that made Rodney King famous and Chief William H. Parker and all that old good shit. Police officer pulls a 9mm to the back of my head, cocks it because I heard a click, and he says, you move 1 inch, I'll blow your black ass from here to Imperial Highway. Joe.
I got beat up by the cops.
Okay.
I got beat up by the cops, so who owes me reparations?
Hey, man, screw the shit out of them. You know what I'm saying? And don't sue the city. Sue that son of a bitch, man, for his personal assets. You know, I ain't going to argue with that. You know, with you on that, Joe. Now, Joe, and I'm 19 years old, man, you know what I'm saying? And I heard the click, you know what I mean? And he didn't have no probable cause to pull me over in the first place. Black man driving while black. You know, and there's a book I got right here I'm going to start reading called Driving While Black, you know, to debate with Sarge. Because Sarge is very, very well read, you know what I mean? So this is why the reparations is old, Joe. You know what I'm saying? Is because if we were truly American citizens, Joe, black people would not be being experimented on. Black people would not be depicted in these horrible, stupid roles up there in Hollywood. You know what I'm saying? And I did a live feed from Hollywood one time. You know, Brother Chase well aware of it. You know what I mean? So this is why reparations is old, Joe, because, see, Joe, the day of the happy-go-looking, dancing Negro is over, man. It's over. You see what I'm saying? And then look at the political prisoners you have.
I see a lot of happy black families out there. I see a lot of happy people out there, actually.
Yeah. Joe, did you ever used to watch a show with the Wayans brothers, man? Called the Wayans brothers with Marlon Wayans and Sean Wayans, and they'll start off at the show coming out, man. Yeah, okay, I don't blame you. They're coming out singing, hey, we're happy and we're colored, give us a chance. Then they show the next scene, you know, where they stand up like proud black men. No, we ain't going with this. You see what I'm saying? But tell me this here, Joe. Why does white America fear strong black men? Comment.
I don't think they do. I don't think it does.
No, Joe, I know for a fact they do. Now, I ain't never been to the great state of North Carolina.
Can you show me some proof?
You know what I'm saying?
Can you show me some proof?
I've never been to the great state of North Carolina. I've been through the South, man, and that there was enough for me, man. You know, particularly driving out there at night by myself. You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't want to.
But you just contradicted what you said. You said we fear, and then you said you're scared to drive through here. So that makes no sense.
Fear and scared is being the same thing. Oh, yes, it does, Joe, because I'm a black man in America, Joe. They don't need no probable cause to pull me over. And then just like, man, when we had old Illusion or Solution on the show, man, you know what I'm saying? And you was on that show too, Joe, and Brother Parrish was in the studio because I was driving across the deserts of California, and then I went over the hill, man, and then I saw Prim, Nevada, and about to leave Governor Newsom State. And Governor Newsom, you know, he's a sack of dog shit, in my opinion, you know, because I do not respect no man going out there screwing his best man's wife, talking about their friends. No. See, that's a moral issue. That's wrong within itself. And then, of course, you do know that's Nancy Pelosi's nephew, right? Because, you know, he signed up here COVID law.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
Yeah. you know, they go up there, yeah, because they own wine vineyards up there in Napa Valley, you know what I'm saying? And he's celebrating his wife's birthday out there violating own laws of COVID that he put in a law through an executive order, you know what I'm saying? And bad news for winos. You know, Napa Valley, the grape crops, you know, got shattered a little bit, so your Boone's Farm, Ripple, Rock Gut, what have you, all that kind of shit, it's going up there in price. And me personally, I think what they did was, man, to sabotage the shit, man, to grow marijuana fields, you know what I mean?
Probably, I agree with you.
That's
there.
Just my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with
that,
you on that,
that
one, too.
That is just my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree with you.
See, if you're going to have proper race relations in this company, in this country, you got to release all the political prisoners, man, from doing the black empowerment era who were incarcerated wrongly. You see what I'm saying? Got to have the reparations, Joe.
They were really convicted. Yes, I agree with you.
Okay, no, but that's just it, though, Joe. Like I try to tell Sarge, you know, in these kangaroo courts, man, they hopping from one thing to another. Look at the case of Huey P. Newton,
true.
Man,
very
in
true.
1967. Yeah, you
very
see,
true.
You know, look at that case. You see what I mean? And then on top of it, man, you know, police officers are supposed to sit up here and uphold the law, and look how they murdered Breonna Taylor down in the great state of Kentucky. She's in bed with her old man. They go to the wrong door. They shoot and kill this woman in the bed. And then, you know, they're going to charge her old man with a crime because he's her man. The house is being invaded, so he got up and did what the hell he was supposed to do. They didn't get convicted.
You
had a black-ass attorney general down there. Oh, no, these white officers are guilty right there. See, this is what we mean by Joe. The mental shackle of slavery is still on the brain. As you go, you down there in the South, that's why they always call a black man boy, you see, because they never wanted him to realize that he was a man. See, this is why we appreciate and love that quote-unquote draft dodger by the name of Ali. Ain't no Viet Cong ever never called me a nigga. Ain't no Viet Cong ever lynched our men and killed our babies.
Well, I don't think that's
you,
why.
Joe?
I don't think that's why.
No,
I don't
no,
think
no,
that's
no,
why
no, 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 no. No, Joe. I remember the day that Ali did that is because I was a little tiny tot, about 8 years old. My mother comes in from a hard day of work. She says, turn off the cartoons, turn on the news. And, you know, little kids hate the news. We're watching cartoons. She says, the heavyweight champ just refused induction to go into the military. And that's when Ali was up there saying, hey, I'm citing my religious beliefs. And Sarge will know more about that. He's well-read in the law. Now, who on the Supreme Court, Sarge, had stated when they finally ruled overturned his draft conviction. That was Warren Burger, and I forgot who the Chief Justice was at the time. Was it still Earl Warren at that time? Sarge, the former governor
yes,
of California.
It yes, it was.
Yeah.
Earl Warren.
Okay. And so then Ali goes out there on the lecture circuit, you know what I'm saying, you know, your dirty draft judge in NGR and this, that, there, the other, all the white guys up there in the great state of Texas, at the University of Texas, you know, Governor Bud State, talking about, hey, you draft dodge in NGR, you dirty black so-and-so, boom, 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 boom. And then when Ali got up there and said that if I'm going to die, I will die fighting one of you. How come you heard a pin drop in the room?
I don't know. I wasn't in the room.
Can you,
I can't tell you.
Yeah. Oh, I already know why. Because they're sitting up there fat-mouthing, and when you put the real to them, man, you know what I'm saying, they shit it in their pants. And keep in mind, Ali was bad. That's why he called himself the greatest. You know, and just like you and I, Sarge, went back and forth, you know, with him and Marciana. And then we had our guest, the former heavyweight champ, on the show at that time and stated that Marciana would have got his ass whooped, you know, that there was an expert speaking right there, gentlemen. You know, see, the thing is, folks, if you're going to have some racial healing in this country, to quote Brother Che, cut the goddamn check, $236,000 intangible. Straight up. You see what I'm saying? Straight up. You know, not sitting up there with us, you know, constantly, man, you know, being ridiculed and degraded and all this stuff like this right here. Even a black family unit, man, is shattered behind that. You know? when I look at these commercials, you know, these white boys up here with black women talking about this is progress. Bullshit. You know what I'm saying? That's nothing more than a hatred of self, you know, and on that I yield. Comments, gentlemen.
Well, look, I'm just letting you know that, you know, I do think he was a genuine conscientious objector. He shouldn't have been convicted.
Okay.
And besides, the problem for the government was that the three grounds that the Justice Department's letter upon which the Selective Service Board relied to deny him conscientious objector status was not properly expressed. So there were procedural reasons and legal reasons for why Muhammad Ali reversal conviction should have been reversed by the Supreme Court. So, I mean, I don't have a problem with that, with them, because I do believe that people are entitled to conscientious objector status if and when it is genuine. And in Muhammad Ali's case, I am certain that his conscientious objector status was genuine. So there's not much to argue about with you about that. That was just a matter of law and the law being upheld.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. All right, gentlemen, closing comments. You know, we're in overtime. And this here, you know, was a civil show this time, you know, I must admit. Okay, so I'm going to make my closing comments. First, we want to thank everybody for tuning in to Shabaka's Black Experience in Hanshaw tonight. The air date of this episode is February the 13th, 2024, in Black History Month. But as we all know, Brother Che and Sarge and Joe, is that Black History has been made every day since the beginning of time, even when we were on the continent of commonly referred to as Africa, Kibalon, and various other names that it has. Also, too, the black woman had a lot of power in African nations, and this is why we play Mama Africa on our intro by the one and only Ms. Miriam Makeba. You know, may she rest in power with the ancestors. She herself, you know, was exiled from South Africa due to her political beliefs. You know, Elon Musk is not an African. He is a Boer. You know what I'm saying? And those there are my closing comments. Okay, Brother Che, your closing comments, sir. Your closing comments. Yes, sir, your closing comments, because we're in overtime and we want the episode completed.
Yeah, I agree with everything. Shabaka, they definitely pushed this epoxy.
Okay.
Of course, the black people like everything else. And I know in Mexico, the black people catch the flu. So,
right.
Everybody stated, the rest out of office. And blue, no matter who, the last 6 years have not been beneficial and more detrimental than anything. And get these mugs out of office. As long as you support these orders, that's completely genocide cleansing our people. So we need to act accordingly. And it means sitting in this election, so be it. That's in a clear message to these Democrats.
Right.
You're not going to continue to take our votes for granted. You're not going to continue to do everything for everybody else, non-citizens, and continue to neglect us. The moral neglect has to end. It's been 60 years of this madness, and it needs to end. And we can stand this election in November. So make sure y'all check us out Saturday for Frontline News, Season 3, so it'll be 6, Part 1 of the Frontline News. We're currently being streamed by YouTube, so we haven't been able to stream on Frontline Black News or the Revolutionary Agenda.
Okay. Due to censorship, violation of our First Amendment rights.
I don't know when Lady Kate will be able to do an RBA. She might have to do it on my personal page, since that's the only one that we have access to a stream. So, yeah, thank y'all for everybody that called in to the Black Experience Enhanced tonight. It was a good discussion, and I look forward to the next one on Friday for Grand Rising.
Yes, sir.
At 8 a.m. Pacific.
Okay.
9 a.m. Mountain. 10 a.m. Central and 11 a.m. in the East. So, San Kuma, signing
okay,
out.
Okay, Sarge.
Statement, Sarge.
Okay, Sarge. And, Sarge,
hey,
you are hereby ordered to report at 1,100 hours.
Yeah, you might want to check out a 2013 movie, Muhammad Ali's Greatest Fight. It was on HBO.
I saw it, yeah, about the Supreme Court decision. Yeah, the, yeah,
right.
I think
you
I
might,
did see parts of
that,
Sarge.
You might
want to
check
it out. Yeah, yeah, and that there was when they were arguing his case, you know, before the U.S. Supreme Court, and they all decided to free the man, you know what I'm saying? Free the man, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
yeah
that movie,
was very good. Yeah, I saw parts of it, Sarge, but I'm gonna have to watch it in its entirety, you know what I mean? You know, to give a real objectionable opinion on it. And then also too, gentlemen, with this here being Black History Month, as you all know, tomorrow's Sweetheart Day and stuff like that, and Saint Valentine's Day. But guess what, people, in 4 days. We got a
It's on Amazon Prime if you got it, or you know somebody that's got it, you can check it out there.
Okay, okay. And then also, too, Sarge, that is very well noted. And in my closing comments, and we're going to go to Joe Gibson, and then we're going to go to Sarge and Lady Che, is that 14, 15, 16, 17. In 4 days. Guess whose birthday it's going to be, Sarge? You know who it is. And he was born exactly 30 days in the same year after Muhammad Ali. Guess who that is, Sarge?
30 days?
Sorry.
Of the same
year? Exactly 30 days of the same year after Muhammad Ali. Lady Che already knows. Che and Krumah already knows.
Well, it wasn't Malcolm. It wasn't Martin.
No, sir. No. However, I'll give you a hint.
Huey B.
Do you know it? Yeah,
that's right.
HB.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Huey B.
All
Newton.
Right.
Yes,
all
sir.
Right.
That
yeah.
is correct. Yeah, okay. Okay. And then with this here being Black History Month, although there was a lot of controversy about Dr. Newton, but however, there was a lot of controversy about Dr. King. There was a lot of controversy about Malcolm X. There was a lot of controversy about Muhammad Ali, but they still contributed to Black history. Okay, and keep in mind, folks, that Black history is 365 days a year. So we appreciate Carter G. Woodson of coming up in the 1920s with the quote-unquote Negro History Week.
Well, that's the reason, like I told you before, that's the reason why I don't celebrate Black History Month, because for me, every month is History Month, including Black History. So for me, nothing changes.
Oh, well, Sarge, okay, now hold on, Sarge. No, whoa, Sarge, hold on. Now, once again, Sarge, I mean, what the hell is happening here? I have to agree with you. Black history has been made since the beginning of time, Sarge. You know what I'm saying? Every day is Black History Month. Now,
there you go.
All these individuals talking about, well, Black history is American history, bullshit, because we were making Black history before there was even a place called America. You see, and that there would be for a future episode on that there. Okay, Lady Che, your closing comments.
Well, it was a good episode. Thanks for participating, fellas. Stay Black, stay good. Black Power, see you guys Friday. Thank you.
Okay, Lady Che, we'll see you all Friday morning. Okay, Joe Gibson, last but not least, your closing comments.
Well, I'll just say we have a good podcast here tonight. Glad we didn't have no controversy or arguments. I don't think there's any need for that anyway. So, but thanks for having me. Appreciate
okay.
it. And take care. Be safe.
Okay, Joe. Absolutely, Joe. Okay. And everybody stay dry this winter. And what have you, and we appreciate all that participate in our podcast. We appreciate our haters. And also, too, Lucy Libertarian, we see here in the chat room, you know, you said you've been off for a long time. And leave us a comment, you know, on our like page of Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, you know, and that there is pretty much of an open page. And let us know what you think, okay? And all our haters, we appreciate you, too. You know what I mean? So this is Shabaka San Corey, ladies and gentlemen, signing off from Sin City, Nevada, where they played the Super Bowl and what have you. And then, of course, as we always do, we're going to go out with our song by the OJs. And I think all the OJs have transitioned. And it is a song called Ship Ahoy. Listen to the lyrics.
As your eyes can see.